Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It was my other guy. He said, can you text us the food vouchers as I'm coming, going down the tunnel? Can you text us the food vouchers? Mike didn't have to worry about how he was going to be slighted until now.
That's true. He was playing a home game.
Yes.
Yeah. There'd be the normal slightings from the son and his wife.
Yeah.
But he can deal with that.
Now, this is go time. This is the playoffs.
It's the playoffs.
Right. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Fine.
It's going to be just fine.
Will
it's
you
fine,
go game
Mike.
Seven with your family?
It's not a lizard. It's a monitor. It's like a...
Oh,
it's
that, like that's a, essentially a dragon.
It's a dragon.
High fidelity dragon.
They don't mess around at all.
No, they're quite down to business.
They basically mug it. They mug the rat.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Everyone is back in the bosom of their family.
Woo!
It is delightful to have the group intact. The energy, by the way, pre-show in this room was so thick. It was so laser. I've never done a pre-show meeting where there was more
tight.
Excitement.
Palpable.
And seriously, as I got a funeral home. But anyway, that's
were
okay.
Answered.
It's great. Yes, the questions were answered. Yes, everything was done. Yeah. Anyway, it's great to have everybody back, and so what's new?
Well, I'm back, baby. I'm back.
Back, baby, back.
And I'm on time.
In his plaid shirt.
For purposes of teasing at the beginning of the show, we're going to do an abbreviated Yak Shack today, because this to me was a series of eight yaks.
Oh.
That
yaks.
Perfectly demonstrated the yaks we get. And then we've got a lot of show. We can't do a full Yak Shack today because they've been spilling into two shows.
Okay.
So I just wanted to do a chunk of them, and I may be doing them that way. I'm not sure. But this runs the gamut, and it was such a fitting last one. Well, let's just dive in.
All righty.
A little bit of everything on the Yak Shack.
Smorgasbord.
And when I say that, don't think for 1 second I think it's anything special.
Okay.
Let's dive right in, ladies and gentlemen. The first yak is a perfect example of the TMOS Yak Shack that is always open at 888-920-6673. And that is simply, okay, let's listen to it, shall we?
Hi, this is Aloysius calling near Concord, Massachusetts. I just found a new video, WPOJ Party Teaser. It's their farewell reunion. Back in the 80s, this is where I got listened to most of the rock and roll music before they changed the format. It was a very interesting video with all the old jocks. Bye.
Okay. That was interesting.
I liked that there were several false stops when you thought it would be over, and yet he had more to say.
Right, right. But let me tell you what gets me going on the Yak Shack.
Yeah.
What gets me going on the Yak Shack are constructive critiques. I like them.
Okay,
I
good.
I actually do.
We did
I shouldn't
request
say
those
that,
last
but I
week.
Do it. I request them, and I like this one because I got this one from multiple people, and we did it all week last week. So let's listen.
Hey, Mike. This is Russ from Portland, sitting in a traffic jam on Commercial Street. Hope you're having a good time in Maine, and just passing along because we're heading up to our camp up in north and go through Wittapitlock. That's how that name
Wittapitlock.
Is pronounced. Wittapitlock. And love the show, and have a great summer in Maine. Take care.
I believe all last week I was saying why to pipe pit. You know, I was having terrible,
right.
But it's Wittapitlock. And when you say it like that, it's easy.
Makes
with
sense.
With a pitlock. It's the way they
do it. With a pitlock.
Makes sense. Thanks for the help. Thanks for the help.
Would it sound better with a Maine accent?
With a pitlock.
You see, and then there's like that's two genuine. Syllables. Like two yeah. syllables just disappear then.
By golly, with a pit lock.
Yes.
And by
yes.
the way, I think that first call was listening to WPOP, which was a, I think, a pop station in my area growing up. I'm not sure.
Really?
It could be. I don't know. Let's. These are the, as I said, this is a sample board of the Yak Shack. I was literally doing this as
is this like
getting
a
little head
platter,
start.
Mike?
I was going to do the Yaks for tomorrow, and okay. I got a head start on them because I had a little extra time. And then I said, you know, this is the perfect sample board.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the 50 that I have could be crapola, but okay. I thought this was just wonderful. This next Yak is entitled A Compliment.
Yeah, this is some guy from somewhere. I just have one comment. Maddie should be called Cheezers.
Oh. Well, Maddie, sir. That's for you. You should be called Jesus.
No,
Cheezers.
Cheezers. Cheezers.
Oh, I thought it was Jesus.
No, Cheezers.
Let's listen
yeah,
again.
This is some guy from somewhere. I just have one comment. Maddie should be called Cheezers.
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 Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was Jesus. See, I wouldn't have put it on then.
And I like the idea
I didn't like. I like Jesus better.
I like Cheezers.
Jesus.
See, I, like Jesus would be a nice combination. But yeah. Jesus
West.
To me. Well, see, I thought it was such a compliment. That Maddie was being called Jesus. Maybe I should pay more
Jesus.
Attention.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. And now a simple call about our favorite television show.
Oh, good.
Hey, boys. I know Mike's jumped off the Jeopardy train ever since Holzhauer has left the show, but I got to let you know, tonight starts the teen tournament, and you'll never feel smarter than when you watch the teen tournament. Have a good one, guys. Jeb and Lesby.
All right, Lesby, Maryland.
Yeah.
Or is it Lesby, Virginia? I forgot.
I think Lesby, Maryland.
It's Lesby, Maryland. Jed or Jeff?
I don't know. You know, it's so I mean, it's phones. You know, who can tell?
It sounded like Jed. Jedda loves me.
I think what I heard.
It sounded like
what I heard was Cheezers.
But the teen. Does he mean what he says?
I think what he means is they dumb.
Does he mean we're going to feel stupid because the kids are so smart?
I think my interpretation is that they maybe make the questions a little more simple.
Oh, so we can answer them.
So you're taking him literally. You don't think he's being facetious?
No, I don't think he was at the level where he was going to work sarcasm or irony into his call.
So you think it's legitimate that the teen tournament will have easier questions?
But it's not as easy as Celebrity Jeopardy for Regis.
As I get older, I find the teen tournament, though, with their pop culture. Mm. But I also, since the Holzhauer, I mean, that's more Jeopardy than any human being needs to watch
yeah.
for a year.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And, three and a half week run?
Yeah.
That's I mean, it's and they're about to shutter for, you know, the summer, I think.
What is burned out? That's what you are.
Let's take another one.
Jeopardy.
Does anyone understand this? That's what I put down. Does anyone understand?
Hello, loves. Come to Yeehaw!
Anyone?
That was Rob Mayer.
Was it?
It sounded
Ferris?
Like Rob Mayer.
Do it again?
Hello, loves. Coming to Yeehaw!
That's not Rob Mayer.
No, he started out, there is a disc jockey named Ron Lundy that used to say hello, love. So he says hello, loves. So that's
what's he
sort
say
of
at
it.
The end?
That I can't help
I
you with.
I think it was like comedy Yeehaw.
Comedy
yeah,
Yeehaw?
It's hard to tell. But the good news is, and like every Yak Shack, we got the same guy calling
oh,
back.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
All right, here we go.
Hello, this is Dan Swartout. I called a few weeks ago. I had the one and only Donnie.
I have a question.
Please.
I mean, we have a perfectly adequate phone line. Yes. There's nothing wrong with
no,
it.
No, people
it's perfectly clear. What is the technology where these calls are? I mean, listen to that. Let's take it from the top, all right? Hold on. Well, I'll play it halfway through.
Listen, I actually wish you guys a
you know what it is? It's hands-free.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you people?
All right. So there is there.
Spit in our face with hands-free.
And screaming
hands
his head off, too.
Hands-free is not audible. You can't hear it.
On a loud road.
No. On a loud road with the background noise
doesn't
work.
On a quiet
work.
Road and pick up your handset and drive.
That's right.
Or, you know, or do it on the highway. You know, endanger yourself. Doesn't matter. It's our Yak Shack. You don't mess it up. That's the way I look at it.
Happy f***ing. Sorry. Podcast. The one and only Donnie has a cash in.
All right. I shouldn't have let it through, but I did because, you know, I'm lonely.
Mike is wild.
Love you guys. Also, Oscar is pronounced again, not again.
Oh, thank you. again.
A lot of yelling, but not really a lot of audio.
No, enthusiastic he was.
The next, by the way, if you're counting at home, we have two yaks left.
And Mike, you know who that
on
was?
Energy Wednesday.
You know who that was? That was the one and only Donnie. That's what he
That's
said.
Donnie.
The one and only Donnie.
I got no last name on that, Donnie.
Oh, no, me neither.
This one is simply Sam.
Oh, Sam.
All right.
Hey, Mike, Sam on the Outer Banks. Just got back from 2 days of orientation for my daughter, who's headed to University of Mary Washington.
Hey,
good.
In the fall. And other than wanting to tear my hair out listening to them talking to all the helicopter parents that were surrounding me, any advice on having a daughter at Mary Washington? Thanks.
Sam, I would offer you advice. Unfortunately, I was a part-time dad, and my level of engagement with this... They got in. I was delighted that they got in. I am very happy that they are both out. And now I have one daughter who has majored in archaeology and is working in her field, which is phenomenal for me right out of college, which is very rare in this day and age. And the other daughter who is still getting it done as a struggling actress in New York and working her ass off at a bar up in New York City, a new one. She's been her 14th bar in a month and a half that she's worked at. But she's working very near Times Square. And I will I'll ask her, by the way, if she doesn't mind letting me, letting our listeners know. So if you're visiting New York City, you can go see her because she's in the tourist area now. And as she explains it, Dad, I'm making bank.
I imagine the beers are probably a little pricier in Times
but
Square.
But I was talking to my sister about my daughter last night and how, how she is just, she's a New Yorker. She's got it figured out. She loves being a New Yorker. She loves being in that city. And I'm desperate to see her this summer up here, and we're going to try to get her up here. So
how is Elizabeth doing with her Dr. Indiana Jones career?
She's great. She's great.
Is she loving it?
But see, she's not traveling the world. She's down in Virginia on some, trying to find extra George Washington teeth.
Clay pots. Like clay pots from Jamestown.
Very, very exciting. Jamestown. And now the last call.
I hold in my hand.
For now, this is a sampler series of the Yak Shack.
Mike, it's an Elite Eight.
My favorite call of the day. Probably my favorite call this week.
Okay.
Let's listen, shall we?
This is the first kid to do a yak, and my mom loves the show, and she always listens to it, and I don't like that she listens to it all the time. And I just wanted to say this is the first kid yak ever.
He's right.
That's great.
He's absolutely right.
There he goes. That is the first kid yak ever.
He is 100% right. Congratulations, little fella.
That's history right there. History being made.
Wait, did he say that his mom, he doesn't like that his mom listens to the show that much?
Yeah, all the time.
He is frustrated that she listens all the time, and I can get that.
Backhanded yak.
Kind of like my kid being frustrated that I play golf all the time. Dad, you're always playing golf.
He did not say that.
That's the way it is. By the way, Michael William was invited to come on the beginning of the show today. Said, Dad, I'm watching a tune.
That's right. Well,
here in the O'Mara household, we are trying to cut down on screen time. Not. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Sorry, Indy. Indy, why does the floor move?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Asps. Very dangerous. You go first.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Delighted to have you along. Always hated it. I don't know why I say it. It's almost like to make myself mad. Great to have you along. Great to have you along for the ride today.
It's very Tom Gagery of you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks so much. Great to have you along. It's radio coming up, everybody. We are broadcasting to you from Schenectady, New York to Walkersville, Maryland, from Moxie, Washington to Totitlick, Alaska, from Sherburn Hill. And now somebody will call next week and say, Mike, it's Tatite. Tottitlick.
I think you got it right.
Tottitlick. I don't know. From Sherburn Hill, County Durham, England, to Lumbashi, Congo, Africa, we are on the air and ready to give you a fantastic show, everybody. Our show today brought to you by Sleep Number. Sleep Number means proven quality sleep. I have a Sleep Number bed in Florida, and I have one here in Maine, too. I don't have the split one in Maine.
Oh.
So the Maine, I didn't do that.
Hmm. You've got two Sleep Numbers.
I've got two Sleep Numbers. If they gave me eight of them, I'd put one in every room, everywhere I went. Sleep Number, I sleep better, and better sleep changes your life. I never think about a mattress. I used to always change mattresses. Sure. All the time, go to sleep. You don't do that with Sleep Number. When you get it, you forget it. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Sleep Number, we've told you for years, it lets her do her thing on her side, and I do my thing with my firmness on my side. It's smart. They also sense your every move and automatically adjust to you. That's the brand new Sleep Number 360 bed.
Yes.
It's great technology. And what they do with Sleep Number is they're always tweaking. But they don't over-tweak. They know what they're doing. They have been ranked highest in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number setting, I can't tell you. I forgot. I know I changed it. I don't have the number in front of me, but I sleep on it every night. So deal with that. Mm. I believe it is either an 85 or a 90, and Carla's is a 65.
Oh, princess.
Anyway, we love our Sleep Number bed. For a limited time, a queen Sleep Number 360 C2 smart bed is now only $899. Plus, special financing is available, subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details. Remember, you'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/TMOS to find the one nearest to you. And when you do, tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. All right, back from Texas.
Back, baby.
Look at him.
Back.
Chomping. We heard a good chunk of your debacle with United Airlines yesterday, but you are back. And I, you know, was looking forward to coming in tomorrow, yesterday rather, and hearing all about the trip, because you were doing some pretty interesting stuff.
Heavy duty stuff.
For Podcast Village, which is part of our thing here in Washington, 100%, D.C.
Mike. Yeah, and heavy, I think, is the... is the best word to use to describe the weekend outside of the travel snafus.
Right.
I was able to get home. I actually, just quick anecdote, I took an earlier flight home just by being proactive, and I'll tell you how proactive I was. We got to the airport early, and in front of me it said, roughly at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Our flight was supposed to go out at 11:20, but we were at the gate at 9:30. And for Oscar, that's early. And I said, we just got to get there. And I see... at the gate, and this is a real one in the plus column, I see a sign that says Washington Reagan, D.C. And that's all it says under United gate, I think 9383, wherever we were. And it's at 10:05. And I said, well,
an hour and a half earlier.
It's 9:30. It's 10:05. I drop my bags. Don't even talk to the guys. Walk up to the gate and say, sir, can I get on this plane? And he said,
it's another plane, Rob. It's not that they just decided to make it earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying it's a full. This flight is a full 90 minutes earlier than what he was booked on.
My other flight.
It sounded like you were sounding like they moved the flight up or something, which I don't think they've done in the history.
You're correct. Thank you for clarifying.
So you switched planes.
The guy looked at me like I was crazy, first of all, to ask to get on this ride. And I said, he goes, are you going to DCA? And I said, in about an hour and a half.
What do you think?
But this one leaves right now. Can I go?
How much do they charge you for that? That's expensive.
There's no charge. There's no charge whatsoever. I don't know why the guy who booked us on the 11:20 didn't put us on the 10:05. That would have been 10 times better.
Yeah.
Why? So they didn't charge you for changing flights?
I bumped up. So instead of bumping back, I bumped up, which I imagine he looked at the itinerary and was like, well, we do have one seat open. You can go.
So they had an open seat. They wanted to fill their seat.
And they said... and then I imagine for the 11:20, they'll have another open seat. So they're going to get their backlog.
Did you leave your cohorts back in Texas?
This is what it must feel like when you hate your kids and you have to leave them. You have to leave them, because I looked back and I said, you don't have room for those guys? Knowing that he already said he had one seat.
Sure.
But my conscience was on me. Yeah. And he said, no, sir. I said, all right, put me on this thing. Let's go. He goes, are you ready now? We have to board now. I'm about to close the door. I said, I'm ready now.
Let's
here
go.
My bags.
Go time.
And I looked back and I waved. See you guys in D.C.
did Rofo yell after you, but I still have food vouchers?
I was just curious about that. You were there. And it wasn't Rofo.
We haven't had our breakfast yet.
I have a burrito coupon.
It was my other guy. He said, can you text us the food vouchers as I'm coming, going down the tunnel? Can you text us the food vouchers?
Oh, yeah. So who's behind? How many people did you travel with?
Two.
Only two.
Two. Well, I thought it was one
Rob
that guy.
Ford and yeah. Josue is his name.
But I thought your wife was with you.
No, what? This is work, Mike.
Don't did he say Shannon yesterday?
No. Shannon did not come with us. No.
Where the hell did I hear that?
It was just the three of them.
Just three men.
Because
and
if
a
they
baby.
Had another person, they would need more vouchers.
Yes.
So Josue and Rob Ford were left behind and you got on the
and it was
the
like
nonstop.
Yes, it was like a Disney movie, but the tears were coming out of their eyes.
Right.
As I was leaving on the train to America, like I was Fievel. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where you're so like, I'm really happy. Like, I will text you what I can if this plane is not in the air by the time I get into my seat.
By the way, if all things were equal and I was at the airport, I'd do the exact same thing.
Of course.
With the knowledge that, you know, if they're an hour and a half later, God knows what's going to happen. Yeah,
this
with
plane
United
looked like it was
yesterday.
Nice and clean. It was an Embraer, Mike. I looked at the plane. And
oh, you finally looked at the plane.
I said, I had to tell Mike.
Was it a 190?
It was a 190, and
there
everybody
you go.
On there.
Two and two, yes.
They
sir.
All had suits on. I said, this plane isn't going down. It's too important.
This is an
We're
important
go.
Plane. So, band.
You know, by the way, that Houston to D.C. Flight is, you know, big oil, baby.
Lots of cowboy yeah. boots and tailored
lots of,
suits.
Lots tailored, of oil lobbyists
oh, yeah.
right there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Jeannie.
Yeah.
They still put the guys from Halliburton on the 9:30.
It looked like the male cast of Dallas.
There you go.
It really did.
All right, so now you made it.
Yes.
You made it back, and I assume Rofo and Josue made it back.
They made
too.
It back. They're good. They're good.
They're here. Down there, what can you talk about, and what can you not talk? About? I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable position,
it.
But I am dying
broad,
of curiosity,
strokes,
and I haven't talked to you in private.
In College Station, Texas, roughly 90 miles from Houston, we are fortunate enough as Podcast Village and as a team as a whole to have been. Awarded the bid to produce the presidential, the George Herbert Walker Bush Presidential Library podcast. And this trip was really built around a celebration that the family was having in College Station for his 90, what would have been his, the late president's 95th birthday. And
you would have been 95.
Yes, okay. 95. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time within this I guess, for context, every 5 years, President Bush would skydive ever since he was
right.
80, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 75. And it was really telling to see how many family members showed up. And the project that we're involved in is more about capturing the memories from the family.
Okay.
That's going to be built around what is going to be a brand extension for the library. Now, after getting all that out of the way, and the release date is TBD, you have such a heavy heart when you're producing these shows, and because Mike, the raw emotion that is being drawn out,
speaking about your
grandfather, it's compelling. You feel honored to be in the room when you're capturing right. this audio and video, and more importantly, what blew my mind is how polished and how nice this family is.
That's cool. That's
and
very, very
it's
cool.
It's nice to
I
hear,
like
actually.
And because you don't know what to expect. And Mike, more so than anyone else, and Rob, really, we've been in rooms with, I would say, celebrities.
Sure.
We've been in rooms with sports stars. We've been in rooms with politicians before. It really was refreshing to see every person that walked through that door to sit down, even before the cameras or the audio was rolling, to have genuine esteem for each other. And you're talking about mm-hmm. family members that are in their late 20s to early 40s and to siblings and the children of the late president.
You had to have some hesitation going in, meeting such important people and essentially being the perfect away game. They're in their home.
Yes.
And so was there an awkwardness going in, and how fast were they able to sort of minimize that for you?
Well, I think it all depends on your host. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
So
absolutely.
So it depends on your host. And when your host can make you feel comfortable and dare I say, a part of the family.
Wow.
So within a 24-hour period.
That's great.
And you also, there's a museum attached to the library in the Bush School for Public Policy. And when we were in an Uber going back to the location, one of the gentlemen who picked us up was a former volunteer at the library. Mm-hmm. And to hear somebody in College Station that simply had a good 6-year run as a volunteer talk about that, the family, the way he did, without any context of who we were. He thought we were just going to see the museum and the library.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Was blowing my mind, because I felt like this was like a plant. The idea that he had such regard. And more so, Mike, you always say, like, you want to find out about a company, see who's on the front lines, right? Talk to the people that are on the front lines. We go to the museum as a team, and we're at the gift store. We meet a lady that's been volunteering at the library for 22 years. She talks about, and if you're anywhere in the Houston area, and it's worth making the drive out to that library and museum, because what you get to walk around and see is how detail and how loving and how giving and how the life of President George Herbert Walker Bush was built around service. And I'll give you a small example. The lady who has been, and her name's Sarah, who's been there for 22 years, she said, you know, we would see the late president here on a regular basis. And he would walk around the exhibits and see how the exhibits had been updated. And if somebody had donated something from around the world, or a family member, hey, here's a flight jacket from when you served.
Right.
This is a patch. This is one of your he was in your unit. And my grandfather always said, I served with President Bush. And when he passed, he wanted to make sure that we donated this to the library. The president would handwrite a letter back to that family saying thank you for the addition to the library.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the way they roll. That's a generational thing, too. That's kind of the greatest generation. And, you know, it was you got it when he passed. Saw all those people saying the wonderful things about him. And when you were out there, because the whole family was convening on this area, was it still open to the public when you were there, or did they shut it down for this reunion
that they had
for the president's 95th?
It's comprised of three separate buildings. The one building was private.
I see.
Mm-hmm. The museum was still open to the public at the time while we were taking care of all this. Major media outlets were there from around the country. Since we were in the private wing and near the residence, which is on campus, which I would say maybe 50 feet from the residence. Mm-hmm.
Now the residence, not where they live. They don't live at the library.
A public fact. They call it the apartment, but it is a larger wing of the
where the president could come, or the family could come and be
stay,
there
and stay.
If there was a function.
And it looks like
there.
The White House. It's gorgeous.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Like it is beautiful.
You got to go in there.
Oh, yes. It
very
is
very cool.
It is so I actually asked like a Rube. I said, this kind of looks like the White House. And the guy smiled at me and said, it does, doesn't it?
Like you're an idiot.
Like I've been to the White House. I haven't. You know, I don't know.
Right.
Kind of
like,
I've seen
looks
pictures.
Like the White House. So was the whole family there?
The whole family was there. The 43 was not there because he was going to be at the Bush Open, a golf tournament in Maine, which was yesterday, Mike.
In Kennebunkport?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So, but this was more about the cousins, the legacy, the grandchildren getting together and us being able to capture everybody.
Was Jeb there?
Jeb, his kids were there, met his kids.
But no Jeb.
Jeb was not there. The family was being represented by Neil Bush. And
so are you able to talk about the podcast is going to be reflections on 41.
Yes, right?
That's
yes,
what it's
yes.
primarily going to be. And you're going to have a series of interviews.
Not
with
just
people,
this family
members, political leaders, people that want to come and talk about it. Celebrities.
Lyle Lovett. We got to meet and
is he as good looking in person?
I love it.
Now
I
cut that out.
I can't help myself.
Mike, what a talent.
Yes. Yeah, like,
he performed at a dinner that evening, a private dinner, which I didn't think we'd be invited to. They invited us to this dinner.
Did he bring his large band with him, or was it just Lyle?
It was him and three
That's
other...
That's what he called his tour, Lyle Lovett and
I remember
his
that.
Band.
Yeah, I think it's an oxymoron, obviously, and I didn't know enough about it because he had three people with him.
No, he used to tour. Yes. It was Lyle Lovett and his
it's
large
just,
band.
No, it's just Lyle Lovett.
That was a tour he had a few years back.
Yeah. He killed. He absolutely killed. And for a genre of music that I'm not very familiar with, the guy next Josue next to me said, I just became a country music fan. And on his Spotify playlist,
he's borderline pop and country and stuff like that. He's he hasn't had a hit in a while, but
tremendous.
I mean, he's
great, tremendous. He's
very popular with the family, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he was one the late president's favorite artists. So
good guy, and Presidential Libraries. I've never been to that one, but I've been.
Which
to
one
the,
have you been to?
I've been to the Kennedy Presidential Library
Boston.
In Boston, mm-hmm. and it's really. It's living history. It's not living history, but it is in a way. You can look at these exhibits and see the items that were part of historical moments, and it really is fascinating. If you like modern history, and I love modern history, I love to look at items that were there when something. The Smithsonian in Washington has
Mike,
so many things where you can look at.
But the presidential libraries are special in that so many of them they're curated at least at the beginning by the president themselves. So you get to see what is important
that's be there.
To them, and
they're
hands
on, and
wonderful.
That's where they put their memoirs and they're basically the archives of the presidency.
A World War II veteran, surviving shot down. You've got the fall of the Berlin Wall. You have Desert Storm 1.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, when you're talking about 41, you're not just talking about a president. You're talking about director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA.
And the vice president for 8 years during the Reagan administration.
A UN representative. A UN ambassador to the UN. Yes,
he was the man. I mean, George H.W. Bush was in every
ambassador
corner
in China.
Of government.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's I forgot the ambassador to China. Mm. So that's very cool that you're associated with this. And do we have a timetable as to when this podcast is going to be available for public consumption?
If best case scenario, 2 to 3 months, simply because right now it's the capturing of audio and video phase. And you would happily know, Mike, I was requested to come to Kenny Bunkport just yesterday. And I said, I can't miss any shows. But I can come up on the weekend. We will figure that out. So this weekend or next weekend, I'm sure if the timeline avails itself, I'll let you know.
If you can drive up and say hello. I'll meet you halfway. It's a long drive, but if you want to come all the way up, I'd love to see you. So yeah, let me know when you're coming to Maine. That'd be fun. I'll drive anywhere. What do I have to do?
When you got invited to that exclusive family dinner, I'm just curious. Did Rob Ford enjoy his meal?
Oh my God! Can I just please say this?
Yes, absolutely. We have time.
You know they talk about Texas barbecue.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sidebar.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Sidebar. Whataburger, phenomenal down there.
You took a picture of Whataburger. Yeah. What is there controversy with Whataburger? Where
Whataburger
it's
was
going
just bought
away?
Out by a Chicago company.
And it's and everybody's worried about it.
You know
right?
what? Stop worrying. As I said to a friend, the people of Texas and Whataburger fans are worried that if it goes big, the quality control is going to go away.
Yeah, they were purchased by All American Burger.
I've never been to a All American Burger. Fast Times. What about what makes Whataburger? Get it? What makes Whataburger so? And you're saying Whataburger?
Whataburger.
Whataburger. Whataburger.
Spell it.
What makes it so?
Whataburger. Burger.
Whataburger.
What makes it so special? What's the big deal?
Fresh beef.
Fresh beef.
McDonald's tries to do this. They charge $9 to $10 for fresh beef. Doesn't taste nearly as good as what they just get put on every effing burger down there. Hmm. And the service. The service is, Mike, they come to you with a little tray and they do. Which condiments would you like? Would you like spicy ketchup? Would you like ketchup? Would you like... It's a fast food restaurant.
I'll take it with everything.
It's a notch above the rest.
They do fries?
Fries, chicken strips. I'm saying 4 to 5 times. Probably 5 times we went this past weekend.
Chocolate milkshake?
They had one in the airport. And I had a Dr. Pepper milkshake to answer your question.
Nice!
A Dr. Pepper milkshake.
I love it.
You know, when I went through Boston, Logan Airport, they had a Wahlburger, you know, for Mark Wahlburgers.
I like the TV show. I have not had Wahlburgers yet.
I haven't had Wahlburger, but but you're a big fan. You took a picture and posted it at the beginning of your trip when you arrived in Texas.
If you looked at my camera roll, there are so many. There are so many. And
you like the fast food joints.
Well,
yes.
I like what you can't
Don't
have.
Share that with the Bush family, please.
Did you take a picture of the burger itself?
No, I took a picture of the milkshake, though.
Okay.
But you were talking about barbecue at the
So that's the room side of us. That's the room side of us. Near the hotel, there was a Whataburger. We went.
Do you take vouchers?
The Texas barbecue that they served at this place. And for years, people have said, oh, you know, you don't know about barbecue. You know, we've got Rocklands right up the street. Nice barbecue
Good.
Place.
Yeah.
It was so delicious. So effing great.
Really?
That you sit there and I'm maybe you guys have been in Houston for a Super Bowl or something like that. To sit down and actually have real Texas barbecue, you're spoiled for the rest of your life.
Houston
spoiled.
During a Super Bowl, though, it almost doesn't count because it's like a carnival. It's like
we're,
a traveling
we're,
carnival.
We're an hour and a half outside of Houston.
So what you got was probably the real deal.
So you saw an hour and a half, you saw some real Texas, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see all the mountains?
No, but Ron,
did anybody stop you?
No, with two Latinos in the front, I did question that. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm curious why that would happen.
I was
going on.
In a Suburban that we had to rent for all the equipment. Yeah, I imagine that was a good look.
Do you have anything with mirrored windows, please?
Yes. It's a beautiful countryside. And I actually mentioned this to somebody at the office. They said, "Oh, you were lucky. We've had a lot of rain, so it was probably completely green." I said, "Yes, beautiful green, rolling green pasture." Gorgeous. Driving out there, I can see why people would love it out here. Mm-hmm.
That's not normal. I'm not used to the Houston area getting a lot of rain. I'm sorry. That's a joke. I'm sorry. We have to take a break. No offense to anybody. Horrible situation there.
Mike, you cry.
That's right. Sometimes you do both.
Thank you. I taught you that one. Well, take a break and come back with more fun. I want to hear more about that. Rob's got something going on with his kid.
Yeah.
A lot going on. Meanwhile, I'm just up here waiting to die. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Brien.
Paulie from Brooklyn. Now all of us P1s listen to the Mike O'Mara Show on iTunes, Spotify, and
Thank
through
you,
the PlayerPod TMOS app.
Oh.
But guess what? You can now watch the boys on YouTube. That's right. See Mike do his famous impressions. Robert 2B's crack up on Mike reads his bonus show copy. Catch Oscar Santana try not to make a bitching resting face. So now this is what you gotta do. Click the subscribe channel and the bell next to it so you get notified when the show is live. Now you P1s go out and tell your other Goombas to do the same thing. Now that we got that out of the way, let's return to the boss of bosses, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. Thanks so very much. This segment of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by the TMOS Bonus Packages.
At least one this night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
The joke's on you, you idiot. It's not October.
What?
It's June.
Right!
Oh.
And it's a marvelous night to order the TMOS bonus show. Listen to a sixth. I give you what you want, don't I?
Every
I
time,
give you what
bless
you want.
Your heart.
Listen to a sixth uncensored commercial-free episode of the TMOS every week. Listen to the sixth uncensored show, TMOS, every week. Pennies for wonderful entertainment. The brown coin with Lincoln on it. You have them on the floor of your car, dummy.
Pennies.
Order the TMOS show and flex it. I'm sorry. Order the Maybe I sat up.
Maybe.
It's a very long week.
Couldn't hurt.
Already. Order the TMOS bonus show and flex in front of your friends.
Right.
You'll be the talk of the town. Also the county. Everyone considered him the coward of the county. He wasn't holding nothing back. He let them have it all. Click the banner on our website and you'll get access to all of our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. So please, please,
please,
please, Buy our thing, the TMOS bonus show. And remember, the hardest part of doing a moon dance is getting Neil Armstrong to put on his tap shoes. Mm. That's an Apollo 11 thing.
It is.
It's popular now on they're doing the documentary.
Yeah, 50th anniversary, Mike, of the moon landing.
The TMOS bonus show. I watched it up here. Oh, it was happening when we were up here. TMOS bonus show brought to you by Renews It brand air fresheners. Renews It, do's it. The weirdest. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Rogers to sing for you a little song about a man that lacked courage.
Everyone considered him a coward of the county.
Then he got his balls back. Great little story.
Story song, yeah.
He wasn't holding nothing back. He let him have it all.
Is this the first time that he went this deep with his vocal fry?
I'm not sure, but it probably, yeah. I think this was really, and that's an interesting way of putting it, his vocal fry. Yeah.
Guy's got bills to pay.
He does.
You gotta keep singing. The Gambler was was that before this? Yeah, this
Gambler
was before.
No, Gambler was first. And then Lucille before was before one. That. Quick, yeah. And then, of course, he did work with the
first. The deepest fry is Lucille.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Let's do that.
All right, enough. Stop it. Turn it off.
Stop the music.
Can't do a show with Kenny Rogers.
A great chicken.
A wonderful sidebar. And I'm sure you guys have seen this, but you don't get to see it, in such close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They had a skydive tribute to the late President Mike at the end of, in the middle of the evening festivities for the family. And you had this just elite, and it's veteran based paratroopers that jump out of planes and land at the library. And I never thought you're moved throughout the weekend by these stories, but to get teary eyed to it with a tribute that involves skydiving.
Yeah.
That was a moment that I don't think I'll ever forget, especially what is the front steps of the library. You're looking at history. You see all these people that have come out to pay tribute to the late president. And then these veterans that are jumping in really precarious conditions. Like if you're not a professional, you're not doing this. They almost had to cancel it, but they went on with it.
Weather-wise. Weather related.
Yeah, because it was so windy. It was a beautiful day, but a windy, windy day.
Oh, wow. In Texas.
Right. And you see what was 12 members, 12 vets jump, and they all have the American flag coming to land.
Oh, wow.
That's very cool. And you know what? You have a greater sense of family than Robin and I do. And it's really, it's something to see, you know? I mean, it really, really is. And I have been thinking about my family up here as I always do. I took a bike ride down to our family home down here and just sat on the lawn and had a conversation with my dad, whose ashes are scattered out in Frenchman's Bay. And he was part of the Greatest Generation. And it's very, very cool. And, a lot of people, as we all get older, you got to keep the memories alive, especially memories of people. And I think we are in a time now where history is not as relevant as it used to be, for God's sake.
Seems so temporary,
you know?
Yeah.
Everything seems right now with no, history is not valued. And these families, these massive families keep it alive, and it's so rare. And what a political dynasty they were. But they all know what the deal is. They know how important it is. And the families that are rich with value for the people that have gone before them are the families that work to keep that. And make no mistake about it. It is an effort. It is work to keep that. And not just because he was the president. There are big families in America that do this, that keep the memories of their elders alive. And it's something I consider so honorable to watch it, to view it, to see how it's done. And, it's not just the Bushes and the Kennedys.
It's any family.
It's terrific.
And this is rooted, and we talk about, it's not easy to do. And I would say that it's cost prohibitive sometimes to make that happen. It doesn't have to be this grandiose, pilgrimage. I think that I think it is. It is hard. People just have to make. You have to make the effort.
You have to make the effort, yeah. And you have to do it. And
what you said about the fact that there were so many cousins and nephews and nieces there—that's to me what's huge. Because when you think of the Bush family, mm-hmm. you tend to think of that the older generation, Jeb and 43. Yeah. But they're still they've got generations yet to come, and they're all involved, and that's so important.
You know what I was telling also, Mike. The people that the grandchildren that could come just for the morning festivities mm-hmm. came. They sat down for the podcast, and then that was one of their primaries, and then they left. But
right.
they all made sure
to put in the appearance. Yep. That's what counts. That's what counts. And you know what? And when you talk about genuine esteem for yes. each other and respect for each other, you know, I look at that and I go, what's that like? Anyway, it's interesting.
But I'll keep you posted.
We do it to a certain extent up here.
Sure.
You know, and look, maybe I'm the outlier. You know, I was reading an article about that. You know, if you think everybody's being a jerk, maybe you're the jerk.
No.
Maybe I'm the jerk. Maybe it's all me. You know what? That's not my family with my sister. My sister arrived yesterday. I made it down. We had a wonderful evening.
And she skydived in, right?
She skydived in. No, she brought my niece's three children.
Good.
Came up, and they get along great with Michael. And you're seeing the different layers of family. Mm-hmm. And we sat there with Kathy and Paul and laughed. I hadn't seen them in a very, very long time. And that is my immediate family. That's my only sister and her husband. And we had a phenomenal time. We did. I would love to sit here and say something was said that made me feel bad or made me. It wasn't. In fact, the only thing they made me feel better about was riding my bike up here and talking about the hill profiles. When my brother-in-law who has ridden his bike in an 80 mile marathon says, yeah, that's the toughest hill that I deal with. I'm like, really?
Oh,
it made me
good.
Feel good okay, about yeah. my exercise.
It's a win.
So
it's a win.
It was good. It was good. Everybody's up here, and then you know, and then everybody else will slowly be smattering in, and we'll see. We always see how it's gonna go up here.
This is the calm before the storm.
This is the end of the quiet time for a week or two.
It'll
where
it's up.
Been my wife and me and my little guy, and you know, we kind of celebrated the end of our time, which is our solo time where we just love the quiet and being up here by ourselves. And
attaching a finality that doesn't need to be a part of it. It's not the end of your time of quiet and solitude.
No, it's not my end of time and quiet, but it's the everybody's starting to they're going to start to trickle in
sure,
now.
Sure.
And that's the way it rolls. I'm fine, but the social things.
This is the difference. And can I speak for you, Mike? Just because I have
yes,
some
go right ahead. Fine.
Mike didn't have to worry about how he was going to be slighted until now.
That's true. He was playing a home game.
Yes.
Yeah. There'd be the normal slightings from the son and his wife.
Yeah.
But he can deal with that.
Now this is go time. This is the playoffs.
It's the playoffs.
Right. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Fine.
It's going to be just fine.
Will you
it's fine,
go game
Mike.
Seven with your family?
Here's what I will
four.
Do. I will. We're going to be out of here before it. The big month is August, and we're not here for that.
Okay.
Out of there.
Which is the way it should be, in my opinion. That's the way it should be. I am more relaxed up here and more chill up here than I have ever been before. And I can attribute that to the railroad salvage recliner that we purchased earlier, where, you know,
two of them, I thought
two of them. And it's just, that's my little drill. I realize that up here, there are families that are like, oh, television, you know, you can watch television anywhere. No, I watch television. You got that wrong. I watch television everywhere. I love the magic
part of your
box.
Job.
I also,
it's
I'm reading a book.
It's part of the job.
I'm reading a book, so I'm being literary. I'm reading. I'm in the middle of a book. The guy that wrote Red Dragon, The Silence of the Lambs guy.
Ooh,
okay,
and that's
what's
all
the book?
Over the place. It is called Kari Mota. It's the name of a character who's featured in the book, and it's got all his weird stuff. And look, if I told my family members everything I do up here, which is sit down and watch television, which is buy a half gallon of Hood ice cream and put a massive dent in it in one evening. And then when Carla goes to bed, I go on YouTube and I watch rats being fed to lizards.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of weird things I do. I understand I'm not normal. I totally accept that. You know, and by the way, it's just fascinating when you see, it's one thing to see a snake eat a rat.
Yeah.
It's another thing to see a lizard. That is not a good way for the rat to go.
You see, that's,
if
that's
you're watching
research.
That, by the way, and I know there are a lot of sick F's out there, they're going to say, rat eating lizard. I got to go look at that. And it's not a lizard. It's a monitor. It's like a.
Oh,
it's
that, like that's a, essentially a dragon.
It's a dragon.
High fidelity dragon.
They don't mess around at all.
No, they're quite down to business.
They basically mug it. They mug the rat.
Hey, you.
So Google rat mugging.
there's only one. By the way, with YouTube, you know, when you're doing the dive on YouTube, sometimes there's the video, you know, and then you can't get by. You can't get anything better.
Yeah.
So it's futile to really look for
but
it.
But you keep trying.
Carla came in and saw
right?
Carla saw me watch that, looked over my shoulder and said, "You're not well. You're not well." And she said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "It's a giant lizard in a bathtub eating a rat." And she said, she looked at me and she said, "You are not normal." And I looked at her and I said, "Exactly." And it was
I must ask, on these videos, how is the audio?
It's terrific. Some of them, by the way.
Do the rats scream?
No, the snake owners are ridiculously bad with their videos.
Okay.
You know, they'll just have a camera like looking at a rock and then they'll finally move it because they're so into it with their snakes because they're weird. The lizard video is very solid. Very,
good.
Very solid work. Really terrific. But, and this rat just did not want to give it up. This rat
you
did
like
not
want
to go to
you
the
wanna
hereafter.
Have a you want to have a rat with a little fight in it, right?
Oh, this rat had fight in it. I almost felt bad for it. It was fascinating.
It's vermin. Remember what the rats have
by
done.
The way, you know, and, you know, on the axe, if you check out a rat being eaten by a monitor lizard, please let me know. I'd appreciate
it. Is it filmed in a Nat Geo sense, or is it just a GoPro?
No, it's filmed in a guy with a Bronx apartment sense.
Oh.
That shouldn't have those lizards anyway.
Mm. Oh.
They're the type of things where they get too big and the guy's like, "What do you want to do? Put it in the back of the SUV and take it out to the Everglades." Then they destroy the ecosystem out there. They have giant lizards out there too. The Everglades are like a dumping zone for unwanted pets.
Well,
they don't kill them.
That's how
they just leave them
the pythons.
It's how the Burmese python came into existence out there. You know? And you know, in a strange way, I'm okay with that. I don't know. I'm just weird that way. We have to take a break. When we come back, you've got a story about your son.
I do.
We certainly had your lovely daughter coronated on this show for the last month.
True enough.
You know, your son doesn't get enough attention. I'm delighted you're going to be is it going to be positive?
One in the win column.
Oh,
that's good. Oh, okay, that's good. I want to. Oh, I think I know what's coming. We'll talk Robert
III. He joined
the
army.
When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Greetings from Moscow. This is your Russian BFF Vladimir Putin. Here in Mother Russia, all is well. Comrades are enjoying temperate climate, cordial government, and much cabbage and state-provided cheese. Never you are hungry. Everything we have here, except for one thing. We do not have O'Mara Mike Show podcast. State-controlled internet is limited to WebMD and right-wing game compulsive. Lucky for you, you can get personal and close-up contact with Mike, Robsky, and Mario on November 16th in Las Vegas, Nevada, at Most Excellent Zippo's headquarters. Get tickets at MikeOmeraShow.com. This is second show that is different from first show. Go to both. You'll be glad you did. That was funny, yes? Russia for Russians and TMOS for all. Na zdrovye.
Thank you, Vlad. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Summertime, the temperatures are rising, but conversely, mortgage rates are falling.
What?
That means it's a perfect time to call Cornerstone First Financial. Yes, low rates, baby. And Cornerstone can save you big bucks. So whether you're buying a house or refinancing, or you just want to get a little cash in hand to make it a great summer, you got to act right now while the market is still on your side. Call Cornerstone. Do it!
Do it!
Do it!
Do it. Here's the best part. The folks at Cornerstone First Financial are TMOS listeners just like you.
Just like you.
Name's Norm. Here's the best part. The folks at Cornerstone First Financial are good people, and they live in our building. They live there. They don't just
live there. With their lizards and rats.
They live in the bottom of the building.
Yep.
They do mortgages during the day and then they sleep there.
Oh, at night, Mike, they make shoes.
They're friends of TMOs. That's the point we're trying to make so badly. My apologies to Cornerstone. Sooner or later, inflationary pressure will push these rates back up to realistic levels. So this won't last. Act now. Cornerstone licensed in California, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. We've been trying to get on this all this week, Robert.
Yes.
We've been very, very busy. Tell us your tale. The last we checked, your son was about to take a financial plunge into the world of workdom at a place you're really a big fan of.
I hate Wegmans. I hate it. But I'm proud of him for seeking a job, mm-hmm. and I'm proud that he will be the fifth generation of my family to work in the grocery game. He had his second interview, and today he starts at the Leesburg Wegmans at the sandwich counter, gainfully employed.
Yeah. Today is the day? Today is the day he starts?
He had his final interview on Monday, and he came home, and he said, I said, how'd it go? He said, Dad, they gave me two shirts to wear as my uniform. One is turquoise and one is purple, and they both have Wegmans stitched on them. I said, did they also give you a stick? He said, why? I said, to take care of all the women that'll be after you wearing that good-looking shirt.
God. He's jacked. He's
he
super
is jacked.
Excited.
And also, I found this out. Wegmans allows you to order a pair of shoes that Wegmans will pay for you to work in.
What a nice. Did Safeway ever do that for you?
Safeway, they required me to wear shoes, but they did not provide any shoes. But Robert,
is there a particular type of shoe they recommend?
I imagine most of them are going to be sort of like a black Rockport prescription-looking shoe. I did not see the catalog. Robert,
something that'll be comfortable when you're on your feet.
But a smart way to control the dress.
It is.
Absolutely. They pay for it.
Yeah,
and they'll say,
like, yeah, we'll take care of it. Here you go.
His friend Ben, who was actually the reason he found out the job existed, Ben just ordered the most expensive ones. That's how Ben did his. So that's probably what Robert will do. Get the most expensive shoes.
So then what do they give you, a chart with the shoes that you can order?
Yeah, it's like a pamphlet, I believe. Or I'd probably send you online. Although Robert did tell one story that made me really feel for him. I have no doubt that he'll be fine at this job. And actually, when it comes to customer interaction, I've seen him dealing with people. He's good at it. He can do it. He will do fine. If he doesn't cut his fingers off with the meat slicer, it's going to be aces.
Is he going to be working around a meat slicer?
He'll be slicing a meat and making sandwiches, yeah.
So deli counter?
Deli counter. But it's not the proper delicatessen counter. It's actually where they make the sandwiches. For you to order.
Wait a minute. So he's not out front or what?
No, he's behind a counter. He will take your order and make your sandwich and give it to you.
I get it.
It's like a food service.
There's
area.
A portion of the deli that allows you to get your sliced meats like you're talking about, Mike.
Yeah. And the real deli counter where you can I help
it,
you?
There's a sandwich bar where
yeah,
you can
like
actually,
Publix.
You can order lunch.
Exactly. Precisely.
He's at the sandwich bar.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
And so I was talking to him. I said, how did the first interview go? He said, you know what? I did really well. And he almost seemed surprised with it. I said, well, of course you did. I said, you know, just make eye contact, be cheerful, shake hands. You know, don't be like your friend
this
Ben.
This is not the best sandwich I've ever had. And the sign says guaranteed.
I'm just looking for a form, sir. Just looking for a form.
Why is that all over cable again? Why are they running the crap out of Fast
Times?
It's
everywhere. It is.
By the way, I've watched it so many times now when it's come back on again that I now have the parts that I don't like in Fast Times. I don't like the sex scene with Damone. I hate it.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's so
awkward.
It's so kiddie pornish. It's not fun to watch for me. I don't like that. It's gross to me. And then I'm trying to think, what are some of the other scenes that I'm not?
I don't like the 100%. Sex scene with the salesman either.
The sex scenes are nasty.
They're horrible.
Fast Times.
They're horrible.
They're really the
pool
only
pool scenes are okay.
Yeah. every man in America growing up in the 80s.
I've told you this.
How could you ignore that? Phoebe Cates. I mean, give me a break.
In high school, Brad, my buddy Brad, worked at Blockbuster when it was a rental video place where you'd actually get
was
the
Was he angry?
Always angry.
The angriest man on Facebook.
Be kind, rewind.
They had to often replace the Fast Times cassette because that one scene would be worn out. Literally worn out
bunch
when Phoebe Cates.
Perverts
I know.
Brad is so funny online, and I'm a friend of Brad's. Brad's online too, and Brad's posts that he puts just paint a picture of a man,
a tormented person
on a high wire. You know, he puts a picture of a note that his kid left him in his lunch.
Yeah, a little Mickey.
And he said, "I was having a bad morning." And you can tell Brad's like, "Bah, bah," because he's so opinionated and angry.
Yeah,
like when the Redskins lose. Bah, bah, bah. But he loves his son. He loves his son more than anything else. Yeah. And you picture him. He said, "I was in a terrible mood yesterday, and then I found this. It's written, and it's a sweet little note." Your best friend and your son.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing you. I miss you, Dad. That type of thing. He said, "It's really not becoming to get emotional at work." And I picture him just, you know, going through his lunch going, "God, it's going to be a crap day. What a crap day I'm going to have right now. Look at this." Then he gets the note. He goes, "Daddy, I miss you." And you're just completely unraveled.
Total meltdown.
You know, I can relate to that. But
well, this is good.
This is great. But I have to tell you a story about the second interview. On the second interview, obviously, they were interested in hiring him. And I helped him put together a decent resume. I mean,
did you laminate it?
We did not laminate it. But there's a lot of different things. You know, there's not much you can put on a 16-year-old's resume. Yeah. So we did the best we could. So on the second interview, they give him a tour of the area, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's going to be working, what he's going to be doing. And because of this, they have him put on a hairnet because he's got a little bit of, you know, of a shock of hair on top. And
yeah, I think he's as got a cool hair.
So he's got the hairnet on and they look around and it's very, and he says, "You know what? This is really going to be cool," because he's watched Ben do it and he knows what he's doing. So they go back and they finish up and there's probably another 20, 25 minutes in the interview. And he said, "Dad, I'm answering all the questions just right. I did really, really well. You'd be proud of me." I said, "I am proud of you, son." And he said, "And I left the interview and I walked out of the parking lot and I got in the car and I went to adjust the mirror and I realized I still had my hairnet on." No one told him that he finished the entire interview wearing a hairnet.
But that kind of, you know, he's looking the part.
Yeah, he is.
He's looking the part.
He's following directions.
He is following directions.
Now, are there any, besides of the shoes, that sounds like the number one perk, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think there is, he has an employee discount on Wegmans brand things. He was not clear on it because he said, "Dad, I hear they get 10% off beer and wine." And I said, "But you can't buy beer and wine." He says, "I know, but you can." I said, "Yeah, but I don't work there." So he needs to figure out how the discount is going to work. I don't think there's a lot. I've never known there to be any great discounts from grocery employees because they know you're going to shop there anyway.
Isn't it interesting that the first thing he brings to you is beer and wine?
Would you like to just take a knife and put it in my gut? How would you like to do it? Besides,
He knows his daddy. Dad, you might be able to get 10% off your beer. Just imagine you could drink 10% more and it won't cost you anything.
At the same low price. Exactly.
Same low price. Well, I have one piece of advice for you now.
Please.
It's officially, your fun is over.
Yes.
Oh, God,
don't talk about it.
Yeah.
You have to stop talking about that place and start accepting it because they're the ones that are employing your son.
Embrace it.
So you have to change your mind. You have to be in there and you have to do. And you're going to want to go in there and check on them. You know that.
Let me offer one piece of
counterpoint. I'd be in there every other day. Oh, I love going by there.
One piece of counterpoint. No.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, it's news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, including a very funny kicker, in my humble opinion. We'll be right back, everybody.
"Oh, Susan, before we summer down in Martha's Vineyard,
you love this
I need a new summer wardrobe. Polo shirts with the
lady voice.
New dock sliders, and those cable knit sweaters you tie around your shoulders. Now that Jordan, Marsh, and Filene's have closed, what will I do?"
"Jordan, go to the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center and click on the Shop Macy's button. It won't cost you a dollar, and it helps the boys pay the power bill."
"I thank you, Susan. That is a splendid idea. The Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center. Buy a t-shirt."
All right, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Glad you like it, Rob. This portion of the program
brought to you by... It's not actually a woman, you know. It's done by a man.
Ring. We love Ring.
Ring.
I love Ring. It's the greatest. Their mission, to make neighborhoods safer. You see them online. You see the videos when somebody's doing something stupid and they get caught because they've got the Ring technology seeing what's happening at their front door. I love that. If there's a package, delivery, or surprise visitor, you're going to get an alert and you'll be able to see, hear, and speak to them. You might want to do what I do. I got the protection plan, and that means that all my Ring videos, all of them, are saved forever.
That means if you do have a situation where you want to keep it, you get to do that with Ring. You can do this all from your phone, no matter where you are, thanks to the HD video and two-way audio features on all Ring devices. I have the Ring floodlight cam, so I can keep track of Florida while I'm in Maine. I check it 3 times a day. It's motion-activated. As a TMOS listener, you have access to a special offer on a Ring starter kit available right now. It has a Ring video doorbell, a motion-activated floodlight cam. This starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/TMOS. That's ring.com/TMOS to start living safer today, and we thank them.
News!
Zach Galifianakis wearing Justin Bieber's underwear seems like something that the world ought to see. Unfortunately, while it did happen, there is no photographic or video evidence.
Damn it!
This insanity transpired in 2013 when Justin was on Zach's interview show Between Two Ferns, probably one of the funniest he's ever done.
Yeah.
It was right when Bieber was at the peak of his douchedom and Zach was not pulling any punches. At the end of the episode, Zach got slimed, if you remember it, and he needed some new clothes. So he's on Letterman's Netflix show. And he says, I got into Justin's trailer to get the slime off me. I didn't have any underwear, so I see a pair of underwear in the corner. Zach Galifianakis just makes me laugh. He just does. I needed a pair of underwear. I put them on. Then I started thinking about it. On a lot of levels, it's wrong.
Why it is?
And he kept the underwear because, quote, I have nieces. Galifianakis is just, I mean, he really is. He is just that. The mind. He has funny. A mind that works genius differently than funny. Anybody yeah. else's genius mind. Years later, he tried to give the underwear to one of his nieces. I'm sorry.
He tried?
He tried to give the underwear to one of his nieces, and it didn't go as planned. He said, quote, I'm like, hey, I've been saving these for you. And the look on my niece's face, she did not accept it. I tried. She was not into it at all. He is so goddamn funny.
Have you watched any of Baskets?
No. Mike, and you know what? Please. This is the year. You know what? I'm going to do it up here. I'm going to do not the do year. It. I'm going to do it
I
up here.
I'm jealous.
I'm going to do it tonight.
That you get to go on this crazy roller coaster of Baskets.
I will start it with Netflix has it, Hulu, who has it?
I believe you have to go on demand for FX. I think it's FX on demand. FX. And any time
that's why I haven't done it.
Anytime Louis Anderson darkens your screen, you will die laughing because it is just an unironic portrayal of a woman.
You forget that it's Louis.
You do.
Okay.
He loves Costco.
We had Louis on and he was so nice. Yeah. I'd like to do that. Well, before we knew Bill Cosby had been drugging and sexually abusing women, he was always a lecture lover, and he would lecture lower and middle class African Americans on education, behavior, drugs, parenting, and responsibility. Apparently, he's doing the same thing behind bars.
Oh,
this is just odd. But I guess if you're in the joint, you know, you do what you can. Cosby's rep says he's conducting as many as 4 formal lectures per week. He's been doing this for 3 months with up to 100 fellow inmates per lecture. He is encouraging them to lead by example for their kids. Are they releasing this? Do they know? I understand if he's doing that. Say he's helping out the... Why do you have to go into the specifics?
I don't know.
You're setting him up for a fall when you... It just doesn't... I feel like the people around Cosby are as out of touch as Cosby is about this. The seriousness
of this.
This
is the way I think it goes. We are contracted through 2019 to put out press releases for Cosby. We got to come up with stuff. What's he doing in prison? Yeah,
exactly.
Yep, exactly. Well, he's also urging them to rebond with their kids as soon as they get out. Look, you could have released a press release that simply said he is speaking with the other inmates on how he became successful.
Yeah.
You could even do that. But, you know, to say,
it doesn't undo what happened, certainly.
It should. Ladies and gentlemen, the Idiocracy continues. Rob Spiewak, you'll love this. Netflix says their new Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston comedy murder mystery has smashed their opening weekend record.
Congratulations, America. You're idiots.
Yep. According to them, 30,869,863 accounts watched Murder Mystery in its first 3 days.
Mike, literally unwatchable. And Carrie brought up an interesting point. She said, I lost count of how, and Pony, I apologize. I lost count of how many times the character of Adam Sandler says, I'm hungry as shit.
Yeah.
That's the dialogue right there.
I don't know if this is an accurate number. I'm going to watch the movie. There's been enough hype about it. They got to figure out what's going on here. That I think Netflix, since they own the numbers, Mike, they get to put them out. I'm not shocked that that many people looked in, but how long did they watch it? And then do they know if they watched the entire thing?
That's true.
They said there were 13 million plus accounts in the U.S. and Canada and another 17 plus million worldwide. It's on a pace to break Netflix record for first week views, which was set by Bird Box, which was a fascinating movie, last December with 45 million views.
Mike, I just got a press release. Bill Cosby is watching the Adam Sandler movie in prison.
He's lecturing it, the Idiocracy. By the way, if you want to have fun, and look, I'm sorry, this is political, so I might piss some people off, but watch the new rallies. The people that are still there, the people that are still hanging with the Trumpster, I watched the rally last night. There is the
great... I think Tomo was there.
It is the greatest. Was he really there? Was he really there?
I'm almost positive. Pony, oh did God. You see that post?
No, but that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You look at the back at the back of the.
Oh, it's central casting.
It is central. Last night was central casting. Carl and I watched. We didn't watch the whole thing, and CNN busted off of it when he started saying fake news.
Yeah,
they literally went. Okay, that's enough of that. If he's going to do that, we're not going to do it. But the people. Oh God, fun. Like you would not believe. Really.
Look, I live in I've said this before, apolitical world. But I was in Houston at the Radisson, Mike, and I didn't even mention this. And I get people love their, this isn't really not politics, but more about their networks.
Right.
This man comes stomping up to the front desk as I'm trying to get a room. And he says, can't get Fox News. Like, gets in front of me to the lady interface, can't get Fox News. And she's like, can't get Fox News? Like, is that what you mean? Like, it's not coming in your hotel? And she clicks over, she goes, oh, I guess we don't have that channel on our block. And she goes, he goes, it's blocked? How's Fox News blocked? But MSNBC's everywhere. And so I was like, dude.
Wow. Well, like it is conspiracy. Texas.
It's 10:15 at the crappiest Radisson in America, and this is what you're mad about? What about the outline of the body in the middle of your hotel room?
What about the dripping ceiling?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, the rally was last night in Orlando, and I'm glad Todd had a good time.
Yes.
And, I'm
not 100% that he was there.
If he really was, you book him. We're going to get him on the show. Okay. Because Todd will be cool enough to talk about what happened at the rally. There's a new line the Idiocracy continues. There's a new line of basketball shoes coming out from Mr. Peanut. The shoes are called Crunch Force One. They're blue, yellow, and black with Mr. Peanut's face on the tongue and the word planters on the heel. So if you're interested in balling like Mr. Peanut, they go on sale Friday at crunchforceone.com. There's the plug for $170, ladies and gentlemen.
Why does he have a monocle?
Well, because he inspects the peanuts.
There we go. I see nothing.
And also, I always felt that Mr. Peanut's legs too skinny.
Too skinny, too thin, especially if he's eating all that fat.
That's right.
The average car has three things that aren't working the way they should. I don't know if I buy this.
Okay.
A rattling sound, obvious. 17% currently ignoring it. Brakes that squeak, 15% ignore it. Check engine light, 15%. Well, if you're doing that, it's wrong.
Yeah.
A cracked windshield, 14%. This is all financial.
Yeah.
This is fine. You're not ignoring it. You're just letting it go because you can't maybe get it fixed at the time.
Not always. I've met the lazy as well.
Yeah, my car's car's missing a tire.
Is your car really missing a tire?
No, not really. Okay, it wouldn't drive.
You know, most cars don't have a full-size spare.
That's true.
Yeah, most cars have that mini spare, and if you see one like on the Beltway with that little mini spare, that's borrowed time.
That's it.
And a leak coming from somewhere under the car, about 14%. They're all in that 14 to 17% range. The survey also found 28% of us have talked to our car while driving it. I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to my Subaru. Hello, lovely. We're getting you washed Monday.
You're doing a great job. That is such a great stick shift. Good job. 32% have thanked it for getting us somewhere in one piece, and 19% of us drive around with a lucky charm in our car. Do either one of you drive around with a lucky charm in your car?
No. When I graduated high school for a while, I had my tassel on the thing, on the rearview mirror, but that's just what you did when you were in high school. I had nothing since
like
then.
You'd have to have a car to have something lucky in it. Never have. I would have talked to the car multiple times, especially in storms, where I'm like, let's not die today.
You talked to it in Spanish or English?
I had a lucky charm in my car last week, but it didn't last because the marshmallow melted. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It was magical. And it was delicious. And now a little something, something. There's a 35-year-old guy named Mickey Polk in Ardmore, Alabama, and he lives with a 37-year-old guy named Ronnie Reynolds. On Monday morning, the cops got a warrant to search the apartment for drugs, and they definitely found what they were looking for. The guys had meth, drug paraphernalia, ammunition, body armor. But the strangest thing they found was Mickey's attack squirrel. Yes, he had a pet squirrel, and apparently Mickey regularly gave it meth to keep it aggressive.
Oh, my
nice.
God.
Now, it's illegal to have a pet squirrel, although that's probably the least severe charge these guys are dealing with. They're facing a ton of charges for drug possession, drug paraphernalia possession, and weapons violations. As for the squirrel, the Alabama Game and Fish Division told the deputies to release it into the wild. But that might be tough because the squirrel has only three of its original teeth. Thank you. That's a meth joke. I was going to say the other joke was going to be the squirrel's driver's license from 2 years ago. You can't even recognize the squirrel now. It looks so much older. Meth humor is fun humor. We'll take a break and come back with the audio ball right here on the Michael Murray Show.
Boom, bam! Dan the Fan Man can't be here as he's busy helping the peace process in North Vinea. So I'm here as his backup. It's your man, Oscar Fantana.
That's right.
And when I'm not harassing Rob or mispronouncing again, I'm making one of my 800 shows. In fact, I'm announcing show number 801. I'm here to tell you all about
Tech Fan One Word.
It's the newest show with me alongside
Dan the Fan Man.
We talk about anything and everything fan. This podcast is so hot, the only thing that can cool us down
are some high quality fans.
And don't just take my word for it. Hear what my wife has to say.
Fanning the Miles.
What, I'm supposed to do Shannon? I'm not going to do Shannon's voice. I don't do girls' voices.
Or how about my favorite little guy, Phantos?
The dog? What are you doing?
So don't forget to buy a fan.
What are we even promoting? Buy a bonus show. That's real. Dan, go home.
Dan the Fan Man.
Love it.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment brought to you by our Vegas show. Las Vegas, where the streets are paved with the legacies of the greatest entertainers of all time. Who can forget the image of Frank Sinatra in an immaculate tux fronting the Count Basie Orchestra, or a young, healthy Elvis in a bejeweled jumpsuit knocking him dead? What about the magical elegance of Cirque du Soleil and their mesmerizing acrobatics? And no one will ever forget Siegfried and Roy and their majestic white tigers. Or Matt Bloom in an astronaut suit, enveloped in chemical fog, mumbling prepared comedy. Be a part of it. You can still get a ticket for Saturday, November 16th, 2019. The TMOS crew at the Zappos corporate headquarters with an amazing all-new show. Yes, Oscar
Mike,
Santana.
I had a concept that I haven't pitched to you guys for the show on Saturday.
The Saturday show.
The Saturday show.
Yes.
I can tease it now.
All right, go ahead.
Are you up for a game show on Saturday?
Yes. Yes, I would love a game show. I would love a game show. Yes. In fact, order the wheel now. Tickets are on sale at MikeOMaraShow.com until they sell out. And this, now, by the way, the Friday show is fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, this is a different show.
We're just talking
show.
The it's tickets a, for the Saturday it's show. It's a different show.
Yes.
You need to be there. The TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular, brought to you by Zappos. Be part of the magic. And yes, we did mention, as we're trying to hawk the final tickets for this Saturday show, we will throw candy into the audience.
Yes.
I will be using a tennis racket a la Gallagher. We decided that yesterday.
It's going to be great.
I love it.
That way you get to the back of the theater.
Yeah, you make sure everybody gets something.
Let us open the audio vault. A little controversy at the end of yesterday's show about whether I open, closed. It's open now. Correct, Rob?
I double check before I leave Podcast Village. I'm not going to let the sounds get out and get stale. It was closed. Take care of it. Mike, I'm over here now.
Yes.
Is what Andrew Dice Clay likes to say. Also, Andrew Dice Clay is now taking credit for getting Guns N' Roses back together.
Oh.
Nice guy for doing it.
So I get to Australia, and there's a guy that I think looks like Slash.
And I like when Andrew Dice Clay is doing the Dice voice a little bit, but not much. Just
when,
just
he does, and it's very nasal. He goes, "So I get to Australia. There's a guy that," and then he opens up a little bit. He goes, "And there's a guy that looks like Slash."
So he thinks this guy could be Slash.
Play it from the beginning. I want to see it back.
Okay.
So I get to Australia, and there's a guy that I think looks like Slash. I say to the guy, he's sitting down. I go, "You mind if I have a cigarette?" And he looks, and he goes, "Dice!" I go, "What are you doing here?" And he goes, "Well, I'm here to play the national anthem for their football game." I go, "What kind of argument did you guys have decades ago that you can't put this back together? You peaked rock and roll. And you had a fight? And as far as Axel, I go, I'll take care of him in Vegas. He was performing at the Hard Rock, and so was I." He's going, "So what'd you think of the show?" I go, "Well, you play him for 3,000 people. I could do that. You need to put this back together.
Get it back together." Thank you, Dice, for getting Guns N' Roses back together.
And Guns N' Roses, when I really, that was my first song that I played on the Edge. And that was the beginning of the end, really, for me. I turned off. Do you know why I alienated a huge audience of classic rock fans in D.C. by playing the cat sound effect at the end of a Guns N' Roses? Yeah. And I'm like, meow, meow. And there people are sounding, the phones lit up. My first day. I'm coming out of it. And I'm like, you know, I do what I do on this show. I play the cat sound effect with Guns N' Roses. Sure. Oh, no.
Mike, you might have had some foresight there because the market didn't accept the format.
They didn't need it. They didn't need those 300 songs every day.
And at all least, right, yes, but Mike, ahead. At least we're not in Nebraska, where if you go to Arby's, you just might run into a guy having a bit of a good time with
police
himself.
Say they arrested a man on Saturday for exposing himself in public. Officers responded to the 2900 block of North 57th Street after multiple reports of a man walking in the street with his genitals exposed.
So,
oh my God,
Mike, as you know, he was right by Arby's.
Arby's, we have the meat.
You know, you're either the kind of person that laughs at that story right away, or you probably don't laugh at all.
Not at all.
Exposes a man walking in the streets, exposing his genitals. How can you not drive by that and not laugh?
On his way to Arby's.
Or be fascinated, and then that guy comes back on. You know, play that guy one more time. He's like, all right, here we go.
Which guy? The Nebraska man?
Yeah.
Arby's, we have the meat.
Oh, it's
just genitals and meats.
There we are. Mike, we discussed him yesterday. Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm. He is 86 years old. We didn't come up with his age yesterday. He is 86.
I am beginning to think that I just somehow think Willie's older than that. I feel like Willie was 80 10 years ago. But who knows?
The thing is we talked about him being 86, and also the fact he says marijuana literally saved his life.
I used to smoke 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day and drink whatever there was there to drink, you know. And I had pneumonia 4 or 5 times. My lung collapsed. I almost died. So I said, wait a minute, you know, I ain't getting that high off them Chesterfields. So I throwed out the cigarettes, rolled up 20 joints, stuck it in there, and I haven't smoked a cigarette since.
So he's saying it helped him quit smoking, except he's still smoking.
He's 86.
It's Willie's Reserve.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
He's 86. Very hard to make an argument with a guy that is smoking at 86. Why not?
I like
why
the
not?
Commitment of rolling 20 joints. He could fit them in a pack.
Fit him in a pack, I'm all set. Yeah,
what did I tell you about Tom Hanks with the release of the upcoming Toy Story 4?
It is one of the most prophetic things you've ever said, that they get ready. They will have multiple stories about Tom Hanks doing crazy things. I am so pissed when I see it now, Rob, because you're absolutely right.
It's a machine.
It's a total PR machine. And he's part of it.
Of course. And that's why.
And I'm not cool with that.
That's why I bought this tape. Because yesterday he went on social media with his wife, Rita Wilson, to talk about how they're not going to eat meat on Mondays anymore.
Hi, I'm Rita Wilson.
And, I'm Tom Hanks. She is Rita Wilson.
And this is a happy birthday to Meat Free Mondays.
Thanks to Paul and Nancy and Stella. Go ahead.
And many more people who also do Meat Free.
That's the take they used.
Oh, God.
This is me off.
That audio.
Shut up, Forrest.
It kills me.
Well, he doesn't have the
iPhone can't do everything, people.
He doesn't have the money, okay? Please, Tom Hanks.
I mean, it's great that he's a company guy and that he's out promoting Toy Story 40, but, you know, it's
The whole Toy Story thing. You can't. I mean, I got a 5-year-old. I'm in the toy department more than anybody else on this show. I'm in the Toy Story, Toy Story, Toy Story. It's constant.
And
it's
they
ridiculous.
Were fine films, and they should have quit after three. Three was
they
a perfect.
Quit after, how about one? Wouldn't that be a novel concept? You know, really great. The original was special.
Yeah,
and it's just God. It just gets so tedious. The Disney promotional machine.
All right. Well, let me leave you with this. We'll close right. with this, and this is from Instagram, and this will. Take your mind off the Toy Story phenomenon. It's a guy who's not normally, that I would not normally qualify as a great storyteller, but I enjoyed this tale from Phil Mickelson.
My first story took place during the Memorial Tournament back in 2006 or so. Our second round was interrupted by weather and darkness, and we had to reconvene the next morning at around 7 in the morning. I'm on the sixth hole, and the tour official is cutting a new hole, but we haven't finished our round yet. We have to play to the same hole location. So I raise my hand and say, hey, we're not done. And the rules official raises his hand, acknowledges that he heard me, but continues to cut a new hole. So I walk further up and I say, hey, we're not done. And again, he puts his hand up to acknowledge he hears me, but continues to cut a new hole. So finally, I walk right up close to the edge green, just on the other side of a lake, and I said, we're not done. He stands up in disgust and puts his hands on his hips and says, someone took a dump in the cup. Very well then, carry on.
Shout out to John Daly. That's your magic audio vault.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
Have a great Wednesday, everybody.
Someone took a dump in the cup.
Yeah. And the thing is, Mike, they got it in from the fairway.
Wow.
Why?
That is a showstopper at the end of the show.
Oh, my God. The hamstring strength alone.
Core strength. Oh, a lot of core strength. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, really, I wouldn't be able to do it. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for joining us for another brand new episode. Don't forget our bonus shows available for you. Yak Shack always open 888-920-6673. Send your letters and your messages to Rob Spiewak with two Bs at MikeOmaraShow.com. And tickets are still on sale for our fabulous Las Vegas show. At the Saturday show, still tickets available. The Friday show sold out. We will see you there. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I gotta say it, it's hard to get a read on you.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you just kiss my left nut?
The preceding program was not professional!